these men are egotistical maniacs. Everybody knows that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Rider and the Fighter. Right. I'm your co-host, David Golden from OregonSportsNews.com. With me, as always, my co-host, Jake the Half Black Attack Smith from Bellator MMA. What up?
Yeah, man, that was a lot of energy, a little bit more than I have. But, you know, I like it.
We gotta give them one and then another one. We got to do it.
I feel like we should just add that. Like, we should get a soundboard. A
little soundboard.
Yeah. Yeah.
We get one that's like... you know? We get one that's dollar signs, you know?
Cha-ching.
The cha-ching, yeah. Cha-ching, cha-ching. It'd be perfect.
The cha-ching of the day goes to...
Yeah.
The little Asian boy who's fighting Mayweather, like that or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, we have a lot to talk about because I belled on you last week. So... Yep. Sorry about that, but, you know.
It happens, you know.
You know, Smitty Bear was a little tired, you know, sleepy tie-tie. he was having a hard time dealing with Sober October, and he just needed some alone time.
That's totally understandable. Yeah. It worked out in my favor. I was not really in a positive mood.
Oh, okay.
Last week, so it kind of worked out for me.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why life works, you know.
Yeah, you know. I'm sure you could sense my negativity. That's probably what was happening, really.
Yeah, exactly. From your fucking through the via text, when you send it back, I was like, "Oh, this motherfucker's pissed. I'm bailing." I can just feel your dark energy.
Yep, having a bad day. Having a bad day. So last week we didn't record,
yeah.
And then probably the biggest and maybe weirdest mixed martial arts news that has broken in the last, like, I don't know, 10 years.
Yeah,
went down. You had the UFC agreeing to terms with Ryzen, yeah. MMA or Ryzen FC, I think. Yeah, whatever. Ryzen over in, no.
Is it one?
No, it was one FC.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute.
Let's go back.
Okay.
Yeah. The UFC agrees to a deal with one FC to send Mighty Mouse Johnson over to Singapore and let him fight over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to release their hold on one Funky Ben Askren and have him come over stateside again and fight for the UFC finally.
Yep.
So that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's... is it? I don't know. Here's my thing about it. Like, I'm not very, into the whole thing. Just 'cause I feel like too many people made a big deal about it, mm-hmm. more than they should have. Because, like, I mean, really, realistically, it's kind of like... It was a meaningless trade. I mean, it's not... The UFC doesn't care about Singapore.
Sure.
They don't give a shit about Asia, right? Ben Askren's been on this whole fucking, you know, tour talking about, you know, giving the UFC, blah, blah. Everyone kind of knows the whole back and forth with Dana White and Ben Askren. If you don't know, I don't know how you're listening to this fucking podcast and not know that. But the reason why it's not a big deal is because, you know, it's an Asian... thing. I think they want to get rid of the 125 division, so they're trying to do it, and I don't know, man. It's just, to me, it's a little lackluster. I don't know.
I can see where you're coming from, and yeah. As far as the American side is concerned, maybe it's not that big of a deal. I think on the surface, like right up front, okay, this isn't a huge deal. like you're saying,
yeah,
I see where you're coming from, but I think the majority of fight fans are looking at this and they're going, what? You're getting rid of Mighty Mouse?
Like, yeah. Okay.
You know, that's a pretty big deal. The problem is Mighty Mouse is not the guy who can move up to 135.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to work for him. They don't like the 125 pound division. They want to scrap it.
Pretty
it
obvious. Is,
you know, yeah. that's the word on the street. So they want to scrap that. Cejudo wants to move up to 135. 125 is a tough cut for him.
Yeah.
I get it. I guess that all makes sense. For me, the bigger part of the deal is that 1FC,
mm-hmm.
just, they're like, hey, we have Ben Askren, who was technically retired, said he wasn't going to fight anymore, although mm-hmm. still under contract with them. And the UFC is like, hey, do you want Mighty Mouse, one of the pound-for-pound greatest fighters on the planet and mm-hmm. probably one of the greatest to ever do it? Like, for 1FC, it's a crazy deal.
Yeah,
you know, on that side of things, it's completely insane because these guys who are a relatively unknown company in America, even though word is they're already working on shows in North America to this deal going down. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
Kind of smart to bring in a guy who has some stateside appeal, although even his manager, Malki Kawa, was on Ariel Helwani's MMA show and was saying, hey, you know, Demetrius didn't really pull huge numbers on pay-per-view early on in his career. There was a window there where he got really popular, but again, pay-per-view points wise, he wasn't killing it. So, so maybe he's not the biggest name, but he's a big enough name that if 1FC comes here and they're like, hey, we're going to have a show and Mighty Mouse is going to be the headliner, you're probably going to watch it. You're going to want to see what happens. At least I am.
Yeah.
So I think it's a huge deal for 1FC. It makes a lot of sense. His head coach, Matt Hume, happens to be in the front office at 1FC. So maybe there's some conflict of interest there. I don't know how that's going to work out, but obviously he has a feel for what they're doing over there. We've talked about their weight classes before and how cool we think it is that they fight at more of a natural, natural weight class. So Mighty Mouse is saying he's going to be fighting at about 135 pounds, you know, which is more his natural weight. He's not going to have to worry about big giant guys sucking down to fight him. So I think it's interesting, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I guess, okay, what I was trying to say, because a lot of what I was seeing online was people having this, like, this field day of daydreams of, what if this happens or that happens? It's not ever going to happen. The UFC will never do a trade. Let's say Michael Chandler for, I don't fucking know, someone else from the UFC.
Right.
Like, it's never going to happen.
Somebody that they're in contract dispute with.
Yeah, let's say Tony Ferguson, right?
Yeah, or maybe let's say Stipe Miocic, because they're...
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do, yeah, totally, yeah, that's more similar. You're right. Yeah, so let's say they do something like that, okay? Then I'd understand that's a big deal, because Bellator is kind of, you know...
Yeah.
It's a thing here. It's actual competition to the UFC, right?
Yeah.
Where I feel like, one... was just kind of just like, whatever.
Yeah, they don't view them as a threat.
Exactly. So that's my thing, is like, the way I look at it, I just don't see it as big of a deal as some are trying to make it out. Like, yeah, it is a historic event. It is, it's crazy. I'm excited to have Ben Askren in the UFC. I think a lot of people are excited for him to be in the UFC, but for the wrong reasons. I think a lot of people forgot how Ben Askren fights, and then once he fights, I don't know, man. I think things are going to change.
Yeah, I think for the hardcore fans, like for the real inside MMA fan, they're going to love it, and they're going to appreciate it, and they're going to like it. You know, it's going to be cool for them. But for the surface level fan, they're not like going to be excited about Ben Askren fights. Although, I will say, later towards the end of his career, he was getting a little more aggressive. It was a little bit less about the, hey, check me out, I'm going to hold you down and smother you. I mean, he started to kind of unload in better positions and figure it out. And granted, it took him like 14 or 15 fights to figure that out, but whatever.
And I mean, you also got to think of, who is he doing it against?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those are kind of lesser, you know, but...
That's the million-dollar question.
Exactly.
But Ben Askren also has... an incredible wrestling pedigree. Yeah. You know, you're talking about a national champion, two-time Olympian, undefeated mixed martial arts fighter.
He basically single-handedly changed the game of wrestling in college.
Oh, absolutely.
The whole funky style and all that stuff, the whole, like, you see wrestlers and scrambles and holding onto each other's legs. That was a Ben Askren thing. That was, like, unheard of until him. So it'll be interesting to see how he transitions that to these higher level wrestlers stateside, because I mean, again, Asia and stuff, they don't really have wrestling in their programs, and like, they have it, but it's not the same, right?
No. Yeah.
So we've seen him dominate, you know, get more aggressive against those guys, but I want to see him do against someone who has some takedown defense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It'll be interesting for sure. It'll definitely be interesting. I think you're right when you say that, this would only happen if it was a company that the UFC doesn't care about.
Yeah.
I think this is kind of the perfect storm. It really made sense because you're right. They're not going to do this kind of deal with Bellator. I don't think that'll ever happen. It'll have to be a company they don't view as a threat. It'll have to be some strange, perfect scenario. Yeah. You're right that all of the, I was pretty irritated. Like within about an hour of the announcement, I've read so many tweets that were like, let's trade this guy for this guy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If I read one more, the UFC needs to trade whatever for whatever, I would just throw up. And everybody makes the same joke. It's like, yeah. Oh, let's trade this shitty fighter for a bag of cheese.
Right.
Like, come on, guys.
Bumps up for a pack of Newports.
Yeah, exactly. So stupid.
Zing. Yeah.
But it's exciting. It's an exciting change. I think it'll be exciting to see Mighty Mouse fight some new talent, just because we've seen him essentially dominate the division in the UFC and kind of run through guys. I mean, he loses a split decision to Henry Cejudo that some people would argue he won. And, you know, you're left with a guy who basically beat everybody they brought in to beat him. And
almost ran through him twice, you know.
exactly. There were probably one or two guys that he didn't fight, and I wouldn't have mind watching him beat those guys up. And he did say that if he had won, he probably would have just stayed and defended his title again, and you know, gone from there. But
yeah,
I think it works out well. I'm excited to see what happens. I'm really excited to see who the UFC finally matches Ben Askren up against, because he is calling everybody.
Well, the rumor is Darren Till. That's the rumor.
That's the rumor.
That's a terrible match for Darren Till.
Yeah, of course.
But real quick, before we jump off the subject, there was one other incident where the UFC kind of did a trade, but not really. It was Ed Herman, the Strikeforce. The UFC just bought Strikeforce. So Ed Herman did him a solid because Jacare's opponent fell out.
Yeah.
And he did a one fight deal in Strikeforce.
Yeah, he went over and fought the one fight for Strikeforce.
Yeah. So it was almost as if like a draft pick kind of thing. Like, yeah, we'll give you Ed, but you got to give us. I mean, that's the next closest thing to this happening, I think.
Yeah, prior to that, the big thing was the UFC acquiring companies, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
They acquired, I can't remember if the name of the company was the WFA, and they're the ones who had Rampage Jackson and Matt Lindland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they bought them basically to get that contract.
Oh, shit. I thought they
bought the whole promotion just to get
Rampage. I thought Rampage came straight from Pride. Mm. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I think it was the WFA, if I'm not mistaken. And they had, like, Boss Rutan fought Rhino, and they had...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they had all the... They bought the company just for, like, two contracts.
Okay.
And you know who else they got in that deal?
Oh,
Heath Herring. That's another guy they got in that deal.
Really?
Yeah. And and then years later they buy Pride, right? And that's the that was the big
Pride one. WEC Strikeforce.
Yeah. So that was kind of what they were doing, right? They're just acquiring companies and then taking all of the talent versus trading people out.
Yeah.
So that was the old move. So this is kind of a. This is kind of an interesting shift.
I feel like they have to do this now instead of doing their typical acquiring thing because of
no one left to acquire.
Well, I mean, the lawsuit too that was used against them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're becoming a monopoly. You know.
Yeah, but the problem with that is there are way too many local shows.
Yeah,
and that kind of. They're going to be allowed to use that against them.
Yeah,
but let's try to pretend like. Any local professional mixed martial arts organization is anything career. Close to the UFC.
Fucking local legend.
They can barely afford to pay their fighters, let alone, you know, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, they get mad at you if you needed a fucking ambulance.
Yeah, right.
Like, he's like, oh, you get, no, just drive him in your car, it's fine. Like, nah, man, this guy's fucking leg is snapped off. No, right. you just put him in the back.
Rub some dirt on it, call it a day.
Yeah, like it was Rick's arm, like they're you don't need one, right? No, he doesn't need one. It'll be fine. Just put him in the. It's like, all right, dude. Like, we get it. You're trying to save a fucking puck.
Yeah, 100%. Right.
Yeah,
but I'm excited to see though who Ben Askren fights. It's interesting watching him call all these people out. He basically is calling out everybody in the top five.
Yeah,
anywhere from 2 to 8, he's calling people out. He's not calling out people who have fights, which I think is cool. He's smart. He's saying, I want to fight the top available guy, which is Darren Till. Darren Till, Ben Askren claims Darren Till has said, no, I'm moving up to 185.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
So interesting that all of a sudden you don't want to fight at 170 anymore. And then he's calling anybody and everybody out. I mean, he said it over and over again. The only person he doesn't want to fight is Tyron Woodley.
Exactly. That's what I think that's the weirdest thing. Like,
it's super weird, but they've been really tight homies since they were teenagers.
Yeah. So, I mean, Ben Askren essentially really since teenage. Wow.
Yeah. Since they were 17.
So Ben Askren essentially is just like, I don't give a fuck about the belt. He doesn't give a shit about it. He doesn't want to win the belt.
No, he just wants to show everybody that he's legit, that he's the best. I think what he really wants is he wants to fight GSP.
Yeah.
And if he could come in and mop up a bunch of dudes, and mm-hmm. then GSP goes, okay, this is worth my time, mm-hmm. you know?
Isn't that weird that GSP is kind of like almost this mythical creature? It's like, you have not proven to be worthy of his, you know, like... You gotta fucking jump through hoops and go through booby traps and all this shit just to, okay, now the Canadian wants to fight you.
Right.
Like, retire or fucking don't, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know my feeling about it. He's totally irrelevant as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, like, it's annoying. Until
he comes back, I don't really give a rat's ass about what he does, mm-hmm. but...
I was kind of hype about his 155 cut. But like, now I'm just annoyed with it.
Right.
Like, at the time when we first talked about it, you're like, yeah, yeah. Now I get it.
Yeah.
And now he's just like, fuck him, man.
Yeah, man. He's just lollygagging around, doing whatever he wants to do.
Hey, I'm GSP. I do what I want. I pick fights I know I'll go and win.
Yeah, exactly.
That was Russian. I don't know. You know what I'm doing with my life.
I don't appreciate the way he's playing his hand. But in his defense, he's made the right moves in terms of wins and losses, and his value is still high for a dude who doesn't really fight. And personally, the fight that I want to see is Ben Askren GSP.
Yep.
And it's not because I think Ben Askren can beat GSP. Mm-hmm. It's because I think GSP could give Ben Askren a good fight.
Yeah.
That's why I want to see it.
I think
people always say that, you know, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this kind of wrestler. GSP doesn't know what it's like to wrestle in college at this level and that level. But anybody who has fought him, anybody with a good wrestling background, they all say the same thing. He's the best wrestler that I've ever faced in mixed martial arts. They all say it.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's not training with Olympic wrestlers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The dude is a freak athlete. Mm-hmm. Whether he is all natural or not, he's a specimen. You know what I mean?
Sure. Regardless of
he's a once in a generation talent, and you know, I'd love to see Ben Askren tested against him. It's hard for me to believe that a bunch of these guys are going to be able to take out Ben Askren, because I think he'll be able to out wrestle all of them. Mm-hmm. And if he wants to, he'll hold them down and he'll get funky with them, and they'll stay underneath him for 3 or 5 rounds, depending on the fight.
Yeah. GSP has essentially become the Floyd Mayweather of MMA. He's going to pick his fights. He's going to mm-hmm. fight, you know, styles that suit him. I mean, as far as his wrestling, I think, honestly, it's not that his wrestling is so good. I think it's more the fact that his timing is fucking amazing.
His timing.
Because if you watch his wrestling and his takedowns, like, it's pretty basic. It's just he shoots in for a double. But
they're explosive.
Exactly. It's the timing of it, and it's the strength and power that he has behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's boom, and he fucking hits you. So, like, you've never really seen GSP in a scramble. And that's where I think Ben would be able to create more of his... Because, again, like, going back to the whole college wrestling thing, that's fucking Ben's thing.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean... But then again, does GSP even fucking play that? Or he just goes, I'm going to jab the shit out of you.
I think that's what he does.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. So
GSP does the take me down if you think you can.
I'm
going to box.
Yep.
You're going to have a long night.
Yeah.
And when we're in the fourth round and you're sick of me jabbing your face,
I'll take you down.
And you expect another one, I'm going to take you down.
Yep.
And then if you pop up, I'll disengage and I'll box again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you know that, hey, I can take you down when I want.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be GSP's game plan. And GSP's top game is no joke. Like, people don't just get up off the bottom when GSP's on top of them. Not to mention, he's one of the few guys that throws heavy knees from, you know, from the top position on the ground, which is, like, one of the most underutilized things in mixed martial arts.
I've only done it once to someone. It was this guy named Jason Lambert. He was getting up, and he was against the cage. I was like, oh, I'm going to knee him right in the fucking solar plex. And whap, boom, I got it. I was like, yeah.
Right?
It's cool. But, I mean, it's, yeah, it's one of those that's really tricky to do.
Yeah, it's tricky to do. But if someone, but if you have, like, say you have someone turtled up and you're not on their back, but you're in the side. Exactly. Why not just unload five or six knees really quick?
I don't know why. I don't know why
people don't do it. It's because they're afraid. It's because they're afraid to hit someone in the head. But if you're aiming at their ribs, that's a whole nother thing. And anyone who's ever had a broken rib or a popped rib, like, that shit hurts really bad. And the likelihood of you continuing on in a fight with a broken rib is slim. Like,
technically, you can just soccer kick him.
Exactly.
To the body. I think everyone is so afraid.
Rich Franklin has done it.
Yeah, I think people are just, I think, well, even me as a fighter, like, it's a, because, you know, the rules
are, like,
you don't,
savage.
Well, you don't kick someone when they're on the ground, right? It's just one of those things. Like, I think that's where everyone just interprets the rules their whole body instead of just the head. So, yeah, it's interesting, man. Like,
so GSP will do that.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see what happens. The other thing that people don't know about Ben Askren, or I won't say people, I don't want to be that broad. A lot of people don't know this about Ben Askren. His squeeze is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So if for some unknown reason you allow this guy into a position where he can get a cross face on you, you are going to tap or your jaw is going to get broken.
Yeah.
Like, there are videos of him just squeezing pumpkins and melons and just this dude is so strong.
Yeah, he has one of those dad bods, but he's just like, what the fuck is the movie? There's a movie called The Replacements.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not, he's like, look at this guy. He looks like a string bean. He's like, I'm wiry. Like, so wiry guys like that, man. Yeah. They have this like weird strength. You know, they have no definition in their body. Just look like they got off the couch, but they just have this grown man strength.
He's got that pure grappler strength that comes with a lifetime of wrestling. And you happen to be one of the best to ever do it.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
you're right up there, you know? So I'm excited about that.
Well, I would like to see him go up to 85, honestly.
You think so?
Kind of. Yeah. I want to see him go for a belt.
Yeah. What I think will happen is if one of them goes up, meaning he or Woodley, I think Woodley would go up because Woodley's the bigger guy.
Yeah.
So maybe Woodley moves up, or maybe Woodley gets injured again and they have an interim belt or whatever.
Woodley just, you know, loses soon. Yeah.
Or they eventually bring in the 165-pound division that we've been talking about and they get rid of the 170-pound division. Then you have a 65 and a 75 and Woodley can have 75 and Ben can have 65 and we'll call it a day.
Yeah.
I would be thrilled with that.
Oh man, no one would beat Askren at 65.
No way.
No one.
No way.
Khabib, nothing.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's the thing about Khabib is, like, Ben Askren is a better wrestler than Khabib.
Yeah,
you know,
and he's
so
way bigger. I don't care what anyone says. People are like, Khabib's so big. He's not fucking that big.
Yeah, he's
it's
not
either
a giant.
I am a fucking giant at 155, or fucking everyone else just has, I don't know, some weird ass condition with their fucking eyes. He's not that big.
Yeah, he's not the biggest.
No, I stood right next to this guy.
But he's big when you put him in there with Connor, because Connor's not the biggest 55er. Is that the issue?
Yeah, a lot of people try to say Connor's a big ass dude too. I've heard that.
He's not that big because I've seen pictures of him next to some of my friends who are not that big.
Yeah,
he's pretty little.
You don't know who's a big motherfucker? Kevin Lee.
Kevin Lee's big. Yeah.
Yeah, he made me feel tiny. Kevin Lee's big. Brent Primus is pretty big. Michael Chandler's fucking tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know who's the tiniest? The tiniest ever?
Huh.
Chad Mendes is so little. It's kind of adorable.
Right? But he looks massive on TV.
He looks so big on TV. He is the littlest guy.
Do you know who else looks?
I could literally pick him up, like cradle him. He's so little.
Yeah.
It's really adorable. If you gave him a top hat and there was a rainbow... I'd be asking for wishes.
Do you know who else is like that? Who looks big on TV, but in like real life, he's fucking tiny.
Ken Shamrock?
No, Ricky Simone. That fucking guy is small as shit. He is so tiny. You know, like same thing. Hold him in. You know, you just cradle him, hold him, put a little sombrero on him. You know, a little poncho.
It's the mullet that makes him look so big.
Ah, man, he should be like a little Mexican jumping bean for Halloween next year. Be my little pal. I'll take him out trick or treating. You know, get real nice and tight with the Simone family.
There you go.
Yeah, start out with the little guy first, right? And then eventually, you know, fill her up, seal her shut. But we'll talk later. I hate you, Ricky. All right. So
well, there
I feel like it's been a while since we talked shit about him. So
yeah. Well, there are plenty of fighters who are little that
especially that the Simone think fucking kid, man. God.
Well, I think just about any fighter who fights at 135 or lower, they're way smaller than you think.
I have a theory, or I guess not really a theory, but more of just like a principle. If you have abs at under 135 pounds, or if you have abs and you weigh or fight at 145 pounds, doesn't count.
Because you should just have them.
You should just have abs at that point.
Yeah.
155 is pushing it.
Yeah.
But even then, you still maybe have something, but you can get away with not having abs. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to earn those abs.
Oh, no. 45 and down, you have abs. Yeah. I mean, you got those rib muscles. You got the whole thing, right?
I don't think I've ever seen anyone under 145 without abs. So, all these people were taking all these pictures, and they're like 125 pounds and acting like, ooh, look at my body. Motherfucker, you're a twig. Chill out. You just coughed, and you fucking got a six-pack. Fucking malnourished bastards.
Jake's not even in camp for a fight. Just wait.
Nah, man, these guys.
I can't wait till you're in camp for a fight and you're like not being able to eat. You're going to be just the biggest asshole. It's going to be so fun.
I feel like it's already starting, man. Like, Sunshine, he was trying to crack some fat jokes. And I, like, you know, I didn't really. I just act like I didn't hear him. But, like, it's like, all right, dude. Yeah, I'm a big guy. You're right. But know and understand this. I am the one dad bod that you don't want to fucking face. I don't give a fuck who you are on this planet. You can look at me up, down, whatever. Ah, he doesn't have all that muscular and blah, 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 blah. I will clock you so goddamn hard. I will ring your fucking bell. I'm back. I'm fucking back to training. The half black attack is fucking real. No abs. I don't give a fuck. My motto back in the day was fuck abs, and I'm still sticking to it. Oreos in a cereal bowl. That's how the fuck I roll in peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Eat my dick. God bless America.
All of that.
Yeah, dude.
Well,
I'm ready to fight somebody. I don't know if you realize this, Dave. I'm at the point where I feel scared for my girlfriend to come over, right? It gets heated. Not towards her, but like I might punch a hole in the wall or something. Or am I just kidding? I'm kidding.
You can't even say it with half a straight face.
I can't. No. I don't get aggressive. But you know what? I sure have thought about it. I've thought about shaking her a couple times, like a baby, just to be like, just because it's a person. Like, I feel like I just need it. I almost got in like six different fucking traffic.
But your girl's strong, fights. So.
She's strong. Careful. Yeah, she's all right. You know,
she'll throw you on her shoulders
she's
and squat
Simone.
You.
She's a Simone. I ain't afraid of no Simone. No one's afraid of a Simone.
Moving on. So this last weekend, we had a big UFC pay-per-view that went down, UFC 230. We had a historic event, Daniel Cormier becoming the first person to ever successfully defend a UFC title in two divisions. So now,
he hasn't been stripped,
no,
right?
He has at this point, but he has still defended the UFC heavyweight title and he has still defended the UFC light heavyweight title. No one has ever done that. There have been people who have held two belts, but no one has ever defended both. Like Randy Couture won one and then won one. He never defended.
Okay. I thought you were saying, you know, having two belts and actually defending.
No. They stripped him prior. They did allow him to carry around two belts and on and on. I think they should have waited to officially strip him until after the fight just for shits and giggles.
Why would they strip him?
Well, I mean, they want they don't want the division on hold, and John Jones is ready to come back, and John Jones is worth money, and money is all they care about, so let's throw it out there.
Which I understand, but he also said that he was willing to drop back down to 205 and defend it.
Yeah, but I think as soon as the Brock Lesnar fight became a reality, that you know this could happen, and then the Derek Lewis fight presented itself, he was like, man, this is too good. He could get in, collect another paycheck. He'd be able to defend the heavyweight title, which, you know, is already hard enough to do.
Yeah.
A lot of that's one of those titles people win and lose regularly.
Yeah, so easy.
I mean, the record is 3 defenses by Stipe.
Isn't that kind of crazy?
I heard Stipe on Ariel Helwani's show today. He's talking about, I was winning the fight until he knocked me out.
What?
Yeah.
Do you not realize how fast?
What fight were you looking?
First off, fight was really fast.
Yeah.
So you can't say you're winning a fight until, you know, what, you're circling better than him for the first 10 seconds?
Like, yeah.
I hate that shit, man.
Yeah, what, you felt good in the clinch? What does that even mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt good until he fucking clocked you one on the chin.
Yeah, I mean, granted, I believe that Stipe should be granted a rematch.
1,000%.
I'm not mad at that idea. Nope. But let's be realistic here. Again, we're back to dollars and cents. The UFC, they know what they have in Daniel Cormier. They know that a fight between DC and Brock is bigger than a fight between Stipe and Brock. And would Stipe even want to fight Brock Lesnar? Probably not. Stipe's more focused on
he's
legit
a blue collar
contenders. Yeah. He wants to fight these guys. I think realistically, they'll probably throw Cain Velasquez Stipe's way. They'll give him a big payday.
You think Velasquez is going to come back?
He is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I just listened to an interview with Javier Mendez, and he's ready to fight. They're just working out contract details right now.
Oh, shit.
So he's been good to go. They actually thought he and Stipe were going to fight on the card at UFC 230, and it fell through. So I think realistically that's the fight that will happen, and it'll appease Stipe a little bit, and you know, if Brock Lesnar's not ready to go, if Brock can't make it happen, DC will more than likely defend against Stipe. You know, he's going to fight one more time. He's going to collect that final check. He's going to ride off into the sunset. Both of those fights he wins more than likely. And if he loses to Brock Lesnar, who cares? Like, who cares? Well, it's a joke anyway. So who cares? Yeah. That fight doesn't mean anything. Nobody cares about that fight.
If Brock beats Daniel Cormier legitimately, I will fucking tattoo my penis, Brock Lesnar, on it.
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
That's the commitment I'm making to this podcast.
I'll pitch in this $1.13 right here.
All right. You can keep the 13 and I'll keep the 4 quarters. So that's interesting. I didn't. All right. So do you know what it was that was keeping Kane out? Like, I know. So last fight I remember of Kane was Travis Brown at UFC 200.
Mm-hmm. Let's find out when his last fight was.
He looked fucking phenomenal in that fight. And then all of a sudden, I just remember hearing, like, he had to get some type of surgery.
He did have surgery. And then there were issues where I believe he had a surgery, and then he had complications where he had another injury.
Mm.
But he's apparently been ready to go, and they've just been working on contract details.
Okay.
So, you know, that's kind of exciting. Yeah, it was UFC 200, Travis Brown. You know, people act like Kane just completely shit the bed because he lost one fight to Fabricio Werdum.
Right.
They act like he didn't win his previous 4. I mean, he's only lost 2 fights. He's got 1 loss to Werdum and 1 loss to JDS, which he avenged twice, you know.
And I guarantee you he beats Werdum the next time they fight.
Well, and that's the other thing is if Cain Velasquez stays healthy, if he stays healthy and he doesn't make a comeback in Mexico with, you know, in Mexico City at altitude where he clearly had an issue, that There's no doubting who defends the UFC heavyweight title the most times.
Oh, for sure.
You know, it's insane. It's insane.
Everyone go back and watch that Travis Brown Cain Velasquez fight, because Cain Velasquez did some shit that I don't know if people fucking remember, but he threw a spinning fucking heel kick on Travis Brown at one point, and it looked fucking amazing and quick and fast. And he is like the one heavyweight where I go, if he was at a different weight, he would still be able to compete.
Right.
Because, like, again, heavyweights are trash. So if he were to not be a heavyweight, his skills and the things that he's able to actually really do, if he was in a lighter body, say he was at 170 pounds, I still say he would be fucking legit.
Yeah, he's got it. There's no question about it.
There's
no
herky jerkiness to him. His move is fucking great. His wrestling is great. Mm-hmm. His boxing, his cardio, he should be the GOAT. Injuries are a motherfucker.
He should be. The injuries really fucked him. He's been very injury prone. That sucks. And you know, imagine where we'd be right now if he hadn't been injured. DC would just be a guy who lost to John Jones.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, or not. He'd still be having that title. He wouldn't have moved up to face Stipe. He'd be fighting somebody, but it doesn't really matter.
Man, I really wish I could see like DC and Kane's like sparring. Like, I know, who the fuck, I've heard someone like hint at like one of them gets the better of the other. And part of me wants to say, I think DC beats up Kane, but,
hard to say.
I don't know, man. I the fuck was it, man? I swear someone told me that like they didn't say it flat out, but it was, you know, him and Han around it.
Yeah. Well, the DC over Derek Lewis win, I think kind of cements his legacy as one of the best to ever do it.
Yeah.
And he'll probably win Fighter of the Year. After this, he had a pretty mm-hmm. good run this year.
Yeah.
You know, that was a great fight. That same card had Jacare and Chris Weidman. Jacare comes in and just
short notice.
If I'm Chris Weidman and you're training for Luke Rockhold, do you accept a 2-week replacement of Jacare? That is
well,
a
you gotta
vastly
also,
different matchup.
Yeah, but you also got to think he was out for a while.
Dude, it was the longest layoff of Weidman's career. It was over 400 days. It was over a year long. Yeah. He was out.
Yeah.
I can't believe that on 2 weeks notice, he's like, yeah, give me Jacare. The balls on that guy.
For sure.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
And especially in his home, like some
yeah.
state. Some
well,
town.
And he hasn't historically done well in his home state.
Oh, that's fucking right. He got knocked out by Yoel there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit. Him.
But foreigners. But he was working Jacare in round one. At the end of round one, you might look at the fight and go, okay, this is a classic. Jacare's tired. He's going to come out in round two and get knocked out or something.
Mm-hmm.
He came out. He made round two a little more competitive, but Chris Weidman still won round two. And then they go into round three. Even Chris Weidman wasn't looking bad in round three either. And then all of a sudden, man, Jacare just turned it on. And, well, I mean, he made him uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Chris Weidman couldn't. It was bothering me in the fight that what he wasn't doing was just jab, jab, move, jab, jab, move.
Because
mm-hmm. he broke Jacare's nose with straight punches, and he really could just double jab, triple jab. Like, he could have done that. He even at a couple points is just throwing it out there, just touching him, you know, pop, pop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could have done that and just mm-hmm. won the fight, but Jacare sucked him into this like, slugfest,
yeah.
And he's backing up against the cage, and Jacare comes in and just bow.
Yeah, I saw that.
And man, it was such a brutal knockout, but more brutal than the knockout was the stoppage.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dan Mergliotta.
Yeah, what the fuck?
That was
crazy, man. Like, I'm watching it, and, you know, obviously Weidman's, like, on his back doing the fucking water bug, you know, sitting there. He's like, oh, shit. He reaches for a leg, and Jacare looks at Dan. He's like, what are you? Dan's kind of, like, fainting, like, I'm thinking it. Nope, gonna stop it. Nope. And then, you know.
Yeah.
That's a tough one to defend. Like, I don't know how he goes, well, you know, he was still fighting. Technically, I mean, he was crawling.
Yeah, but imagine if that was someone who doesn't show any remorse. Imagine if he was in there and he was in there against, like, Rumble Johnson.
Yeah, yeah, no, no.
Rumble would have broken your face.
Dan Henderson, he's doing the fucking air Dano.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That was insane. Jacare was nice to him. And then, you know, I don't know. That bothered me. The Dan Mergliotta stoppage bothered me a little bit.
Yeah, should bother everybody. Like, there should be penalties for wrestling that happen.
Yeah, but the problem with that is then they start stopping fights way too early.
It doesn't. I mean, okay, whatever. Again, penalties for that too. There should be a cost for when you fuck up on a fight. Because if we fuck up, it's fucking gravely, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's our health on the line. Our money is everything. Mm-hmm. When you fuck up, that's also our money on the line, you know, our health. So it's almost a little bit more because it's now you're in control of someone else's life and destiny. Right?
Yeah.
You should be way more responsible for that.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know if there's a fine or like a suspension, like, hey, you can't fucking ref for, you know, the next 30 fucking days or something.
Yeah. Or you're not going to get a main event slot for X number of days.
Something like that. There should be something where it's like, we reviewed it. You know, there was a, you know,
yeah, but it has to be reviewed by
the athletic commission. Peers
that, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Or yeah. 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 Have like a referee fucking mm-hmm. council.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe the other problem with that is though, Where's Dan Mergliotta when Weidman gets knocked out? So he was actually behind him. If he was on the other side, he would have seen the way he fell and maybe had a better view of it. It's also a position thing, right? Like if you're not in the right position,
I get that. But
he should be in a better position.
No, not even that. Not even the fucking the falling part. Like I get the falling. Like if Jacare could have hit him more, right? And I wouldn't have been mad about it. But it was the indecisiveness.
Yeah, he stepped in and then he backed away.
He can clearly see Weidman is out. Like it's not like once Weidman is on his back, if you can't tell that man is out, you should not be in a ref.
Yeah, but here's the problem. If you go back and watch the replay, when he goes up there the first time, like he's gonna stop it. Weidman's not on his back anymore. He's turned to his side. Reaching for
exactly.
A foot.
But watch the transition from the back. To him getting over, it's a fucking drunken, and you can tell there's no motor skills there.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's, mm-hmm. You can argue this, that, and whatever, but as a ref, as a professional ref who has done this X amount of times, has been in the UFC for I don't know how long, has done this fucking double fist pump thing, you have your own little motto you do before, yeah. Or signature logo. If you have a Hartz and you're doing all this shit for the camera, you better be fucking amazing at your goddamn job.
Yep. Even some of the best guys out there blow it. I mean, Herb Dean had a really bad stoppage just a card ago. And it's like...
I mean, it's going to happen. But again, there also should be repercussions.
The problem is Dan Mergliotta is a repeat offender.
Yeah.
He makes dumb decisions. I mean, I've watched him poke a fighter in the eye.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man. I can't remember who it was. But I think it was Heath Herring, as a matter of fact. It's two fighters that are coming up to, you know, to do that. All right, guys, I want a good, clean fight. Da, 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 da. And he fucking reaches out and he totally pokes this dude in the eye. And then he laughs. And the guy looks at him like, you motherfucker. Like, you can't poke a fighter in the eye and then laugh. Yeah, I don't care how you deal with anxiety and the emotions in the moment. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Dan Mergliotta has done too many stupid things. I always joke that he's my favorite referee. He's the best in the biz.
He doesn't even like cross my mind when I think of refs. Like I know who he is. I know what he looks like and this, that. But like, I guess I haven't heard too many complaints on him, surprisingly. Like I just... It's not like Steve Mizugatti or Yamasaki.
Yeah.
Both of the Yamasakis suck. His brother's just as bad. Mizugatti
sucks so bad he's not even reffing anymore. I don't see him anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's gone.
You know who's gone, and thank God they're gone?
That lady?
Yep, Kim Winslow.
Yeah, dude.
Get rid of Kim Winslow. I'm on that club. Put me on the council.
You know, I'm probably going to get fucking SJWs coming after me for this one, but she looked like straight up, like she rolled out of a fucking motel, like the crummiest crack motel. Dude.
No, she looks like she has smoked meth every day for like 12 years.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Like she definitely hangs out at bars that have video poker that are 24 hours that have like no windows. Yeah. She definitely does that. She frequents Dottie's.
Dottie's.
Like, yeah, she's all over it.
Yeah, dude.
100%.
Oh, she was bad.
Oh, she was the worst.
Well, you gotta have a female in there. I don't care. Like, I don't care if you're a female or not. Like, what is that, affirmative action or something, where you have to hire X amount of women?
Yeah, something like that.
You think, or is that just black people?
I think.
Why do you just know? Why can't you just answer? Can we not be real here? you're all right, man. I'm the half-like attack. Don't forget.
I think. I don't know what I'm gonna say. Look, I don't care if you're a man or a woman. Just do your job if you're a referee. And if somebody's knocked out And if Chris Weidman falls and his head slams off of the canvas, I don't care if he stands up and says, I'm okay.
Yeah.
He has a concussion. Yeah. Stop the fight.
It's done.
You know what I mean? Dude is concussed. Exactly. And if he gets punched now, he could die. Let's call it what it is.
That's a good point. I never thought about that. So thanks for putting that in my brain now.
No problem, man.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, if you get a flash knockout and your head slams off the canvas and that's what wakes you up, just go ahead and tap.
Tapping.
Call it a day.
Tappy tap.
I'm done. I'm done.
He got me. Right. He got me today.
Yeah, that fight went down. But the fight that I really want to talk about was the fight that I think you and I were probably the most excited for, Israel Adesanya and Derek Brunson. Yeah, yeah. Jake and I are we're charter members of the Israel Adesanya fan club.
Yeah, we're good cunts.
I believe it was on this podcast where we said that he was the future of the sport.
Yeah, was the UFC hype too. Like I think right when he got signed.
Yeah, I think it was maybe two fights in, because he fought four times this year. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Fought four times in 2018. 4-0 in the UFC. Something like 15-0 overall, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's so goddamn good.
He is
so good.
It's his fucking confidence, man. Like, he don't give a shit.
No.
Like, I think maybe that's why he is so good, because I just think he doesn't care.
And he doesn't care, and he knows that he needs to be better in spots that he's not already good at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a guy who's a specialist at something, and they come in and they train jiu-jitsu and they train wrestling, but really they just focus on that one thing that they're really good at.
Yeah.
You're like, man, you know, you should probably learn how to, you know, like jiu-jitsu guy who doesn't know how to strike. Like, hey, man, you should probably learn how to strike a little bit. Yeah. They're like, oh, no, man, it's cool.
I told you about jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. You think about those guys that in the past that they, you know, way back in the day, they'd come in and they would do that. Like Damian Maia, when he first came to the UFC, had no striking.
No.
And eventually he got to a point where he's a pretty competent striker. I mean, he's not the best ever, but he could rely on his hands if he needed to.
Yeah.
This guy from the jump was like, I'm super good at striking. No one's going to be able to strike with me. I saw a tweet from who the hell was it? Jack Slack. And he posts that, he has heard that Anderson Silva is the poor man's Israel Adesanya.
Oh, yeah.
So good. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, that's fresh.
That's a good one.
But, you know, so I mean, he's clearly got great striking. If people are saying, okay, this guy's a better striker than Anderson Silva was, he's doing this, he's doing that.
Yeah.
Like, he knows that he doesn't need work on his kickboxing. He goes in and he trains heavy wrestling, heavy jiu-jitsu. One, we haven't seen his jiu-jitsu yet. And two, the only wrestling we've seen him do is defensive. So I want to know, if he's this good at stopping takedowns, what's he going to be like when he starts taking people down? Like, goddamn,
is he ever going to feel the need to take someone down?
That's a great question.
So, you know,
I mean, eventually it could happen.
Going to the whole Anderson Silva thing, at least with Anderson Silva, we knew he had jiu-jitsu, right? He
was
a black belt, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole strike, it's completely different. He would make Anderson Silva look silly in a striking match. I mean, go back, look at Nick Diaz, right?
Yeah.
I would say he's probably one of the better boxers in MMA, right? And once Anderson Silva fought, you know, a competent striker, he didn't look too hot. He didn't look too good. So, I like that, the whole, you know, Anderson Silva is a poor man's, which is fucked up because it's really disrespectful for one of the greatest to ever do it. You know?
I just thought it was funny.
It's going to become one of those, like LeBron versus MJ things, I think, down the line.
Maybe. You never know. He's the type of guy.
Adesanya will win the belt, and it's going to come down to, can he defend it more times than Anderson Silva?
I think it's going to come down to, does he want to defend it more times?
He's
the type of guy who could get in, get a belt, make a lot of money, and then just walk away.
He has
he's a very interesting dude.
Well, to say, like, I think over in New Zealand or wherever he's from, he was like doing modeling and shit for GQ.
Yeah.
And you know, and he's a break dancer, and so like he was a fucking phenomenal kickboxer already. You know, he already had that money and stuff. He's well off.
Yeah, he's doing all right. And
he's okay.
He was on he was on Ariel Helwani's show the week before the fights, mm-hmm. and he was talking about, they were talking about his contract and how many fights is this deal. And he's like, there's no fights. It's not how it works. He's like, look, contracts are fight to fight, man. He's like, I could sign a 6-fight deal. He's like, look, if I win a big fight and they want me to come back and fight somebody, I'm going to be like, sure, let's work out a new deal. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. He's
upfront about it, man. Yeah. He doesn't, I don't know. I like what he's selling. I want to be
friends
it.
With him, you know?
I wouldn't mind being friends with him.
Like, we talked about anime. Like, he likes Naruto, which I think is trash. But other than that, like, I feel like we could be buddies. Maybe not. Yeah. I don't know. I'm hard to get along.
I feel like I could be friends with him.
You could probably do it for hip-hop, sure. Like, yeah, you for sure do it. I'd be like, I don't know. I don't make friends very well.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I'd be like, this is my friend. We should all hang out.
Like, hey, you're cool, man.
That's your opener. Yeah, hey, you're pretty cool.
I like that one kick you do. Right. Comes over the shoulders.
I like that well-timed knee that you hit Derek Brunson in the face with. So to talk about the fight a little bit, basically, Derek Brunson does.
Yeah, we just blew everything. Fucking Israel Adesanya for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot he even fought.
Yeah, he fought.
Yeah.
Derek Brunson did everything he could to take Israel Adesanya down. There was no plan for Derek Brunson to strike with Israel Adesanya, despite what he would have you believe. Mm-hmm. He knew he wasn't going to try to strike with him. That's the stupidest thing you could do. So he went in, he tried to take him down. Didn't work. I mean, he got him down one time, I think, and he popped right back up. Like, there was...
His hips are good.
Man, his hips are good. And the best thing is, he's an accurate striker with great timing. And he landed a brutal knee, a step-in knee, that just wobbled Brunson, and it was the beginning of the end. And he just came in and landed every combination he wanted to. It was so ridiculous. It was so ridiculous. And much like you see some of the better strikers that end up knocking people out with what appears to be not a lot of power, Adesanya's in there just like,
yep,
like just throwing. It doesn't look like it's 100%. It looks like it's probably 60%, but it's perfectly touches placed. Right. It just bop, bop, like just, you know, throwing a knee, stepping in with the right hand. Just, it was so, so picture perfect. So he's I don't know what else to say about the guy, man. He's good. I'm really interested to see who he fights that's really going to test him. I wouldn't mind seeing Jared Cannonier fight him, because Cannonier just got a big win against David Branch and kind of had a little subtle shout out to Adesanya, you know, a little subtle call out. So we'll see what happens. I think that's way lower hanging fruit than he wants. I think he wants a top five guy.
I would say he feels like he's top five. So
yeah, I mean, he's got to be at least, I mean, he's certainly moved up in the rankings. If he's not in the top five, he's number six, right? Like he's right up there. So
Yoel.
Yoel Romero. That would be something.
That old man.
Talk about a dangerous fight though, man. If somebody's going to knock you out, oof. He lays one of those, shots on you, and it's all over.
That'd be interesting to watch. Because, I mean, you got to think, Yoel's actually going to try to wrestle him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe. Yoel Romero's weird, man. He might try to strike with him.
I mean, if he's fucking not, if he's stupid. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he has.
You think Yoel's really smart?
I mean, you can speak two languages. If you can speak two languages, I don't care who you are. You're smarter than me. So, but like, okay. So the reason why I say you well, because again, yeah, he's explosive. He is willing to bang it out, right? Saw it multiple fights, mm-hmm. but he can always go back to that high level, crazy fucking wrestling he has.
That's true. He does have some of the best wrestling, but also Yoel Romero is what, like 42 now?
Yeah, but you know, he still wants his belt. You know, he's
I'm just saying he's slowing down, maybe.
Fucking
possibly.
Did it look like he was slowing down his last fight?
No.
Yeah. Motherfucker found the fountain of youth out in Cuba. That's why fucking Cubans don't want us over.
Well, I mean, if you told me tomorrow that Adesanya was fighting Robert Whittaker, I would be elated and I would love to watch that fight. I think he just destroys Bobby Knuckles.
Yep, destroys
him. And you know, I'm a big Whittaker fan. You know, I'm a
Kelvin.
Big Whittaker fan.
Kelvin, I think, would be a good one.
Yeah, Kelvin wouldn't be bad.
Because I feel like, because he's so well-rounded, and he keeps a great pressure.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be interesting. Man. I really don't see anyone beat... I don't know who would beat him. Honestly, who? Jacare? No. Jacare gets fucking knocked out. Jacare doesn't have a great
chin.
But if
Jacare gets him on the ground, but if Jacare can get him on the ground, he could submit him for sure.
Do you know who would beat... Do you know who is the fucking ideal matchup that is not in the UFC? Gegard.
Ooh.
That's the fucking fight.
That would be the fight.
Trade.
Yeah. Yeah. Get him over here, UFC. Yeah, you really blew that one.
Yeah. Bellator, send over Chandler. We'll snatch up Adesanya.
I think it's a shame David Branch lost, because that would have been a good matchup too.
You know, I'm iffy on Branch. I mean, he had his good little run, right? Uh-huh. But there's some shadiness behind that run.
Sure, but I just mean in terms of testing him against the guy, you know. I'm saying, he's taking tested. A step up.
No more testing.
Taking a step up. Well, I mean, this is a step up.
Fourth fight. Derek Brunson is what, eight? Ranked eighth?
Something like that. I don't know. I just feel like David Branch is like a step above Derek Brunson.
No, yeah, I feel you. I feel
like. And if he hadn't lost. If they're smart,
that's what they'll do, is they'll bring him along or whatever. But I'm in the camp of, fuck it. I just want to see this dude fight everybody.
Yeah.
Want to know why? Because if he wins that belt, guess what else he's thinking about? Champ shit. You know who else is going to be champ? John Jones. You know who's going to fight? John Jones. You know who's going to beat up?
Yeah.
Hopefully. Maybe. It's too early to say that, but I think later on down his career, where John Jones is obviously, you know, probably mid-30s or whatever, still champion, and you got this kid, I think that's a fight.
Yeah, here's the only problem with that is John Jones is a 205 fighter who can fight at heavyweight. Mm-hmm. Adesanya is a 185er who could barely fight at 205.
I don't know, man. I think he's still growing.
Yeah, he could still be growing, but he needs to put on some muscle if he's going to compete against
John
Jones. I've
seen this motherfucker do some lifts, and I'm pretty impressed by
him. I'm sure, but against Derek Brunson, he was way smaller, and Derek Brunson is not as big as John Jones. I'm just saying. John Jones is a massive man.
Yeah, well, Brunson's pretty big, man.
Yeah, Brunson's
former college football player.
I'm just saying, man. Yeah. John Jones is huge. 100%
what you're saying.
Chicken legs, but he's big.
I just feel like he'd be good because of the length and the height.
Yeah, well, there is a guy who is without an opponent because he just withdrew from a fight by injury, Luke Rockhold. But that's a terrible matchup for Luke Rockhold.
Yeah, Rockhold shouldn't have.
Terrible matchup for him.
I think his career's at the tail end, honestly. Too many injuries back to back.
Yeah, well, and now, I mean, he's just one of those guys. As soon as he got knocked out, then he got knocked out again. That's not a good sign. Yeah, it's not a good sign. But realistically, man, I mean, if you look at who was ahead of him going into this fight, there was Paulo Costa, the guy who we wanted to see him fight. But the UFC immediately was like, nope, that's not going to happen, even though that's the fight we want to see. And then 7 was David Branch. 6 was Derek Brunson. You got Jacare. You got Kelvin. You got Chris Weidman. You got Luke Rockhold. Yoel Romero. I mean, what do you do with the kid? I mean, you got to give him somebody. I think you might be right that Kelvin might be the matchup. But Kelvin...
Well, he's fighting for the belt. He's fighting for the belt.
So I was
just thinking of interesting... People who are competent, at least in striking and also in wrestling. That's what I was trying to come up with.
Well, I think he's gonna realistically probably sit back and take a look and see what happens and be like, okay, here's what's going on. Mm-hmm. Get a good idea of the landscape of things, because there's no reason for him to rush into a fight. He just fought 4 times in a year. He can afford to take the rest of the year off easily, mm-hmm. right? Wait for 2019, see what he wants to do, and if Kelvin goes in and beats up Robert Whittaker convincingly, and Whittaker doesn't look like he's getting an immediate rematch.
I feel like that's a very, very even fight, by the way.
The Whittaker-Kelvin fight?
Yeah, like when I think of both of them, just mm-hmm. as like body styles and everything that they are, like I just feel like they're almost one and the same.
Yeah, but they have pretty different fighting styles.
Well, I mean, okay, so check... Let me watch what I mean. Okay. So if you look at the way like Robert Whittaker fights, my voice has got a weird, the way he fights, right. He's quick. He has pressure. He's not a big 185er.
No.
He's coming up from 170. It's And on the opposite end, it's the same with Kelvin, but his is more, I guess, more wrestling, right? Mm-hmm. So when I say when they're one and the same, as in I feel like they even each other out. So like I give Whitaker the advantage in striking, but you know, and then also Kelvin's got the advantage in wrestling. But I feel like that evens out because Whitaker's takedown defense
pretty good,
And then you know, I feel like I just. What, like they're polar opposites, but at the same time, they're the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That makes sense. That's what I mean. I think it's a perfect matchup. I'm excited to see it.
It'll be a true MMA fight.
It will be. Yeah, it'll be a good little scrap. I'm excited to see it. I want to see that fight. But I still am trying to figure out who out of these guys in the top, in the top 10 is. Thinks that they're going to just walk through Adesanya, and I think...
I really don't think anyone, dude.
No, I think Yoel is going to test him. I think...
And I feel like that's going to end bad, and that's going to be the end of his career.
Yeah, I want to say Chris Weidman would believe that he could do it, but, you know...
After his back-to-back knockouts?
No, because he had the win. His last fight, he had that win. He's coming back.
Okay.
But nevertheless, I mean...
Oh, yeah, he beat Kelvin, that's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Jacare out there, but Jacare is 39 years old. He's only interested in title fights. I mean, that's what he wants.
I almost would say, like, give him the title shot. Because, I mean, he's beaten Weidman. I mean, he had that funky thing with Yoel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who has he really lost to?
He only has a few losses on his record at all.
In the UFC, I feel like did he beat Gegard or did he lose to Gegard? Did they even fight? Oh yeah, they fought. Yeah. He beat Gegard in the UFC.
Well, didn't they split?
Yeah,
didn't
he got Gegard knocked him out with an up kick in Dream.
Yeah, Gegard got him, and then a while later, a couple years later, Luke Rockhold got him on a decision.
Yeah,
and then he lost to Yoel Romero, lost to Robert Whittaker, TKO with the head kick. You remember? Yeah, that was a pretty convincing one. Mm-hmm. And then he had the split decision loss to Kelvin. So he's got, what's that, 5 losses? Nope, his very first fight was a loss. He's got 6 losses and 1 no contest.
So really, Weidman is his, never mind, he doesn't, okay.
No, yeah.
I take it back.
You know.
Maybe that is a good one for him.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe Jacare. We'll see.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Yeah, something like that.
Let's call it. I'm calling it here. Jacare versus Adesanya, or the fucking freak of a nature Brazilian.
Yeah,
Paulo Costa. If that guy, I don't know what's going on with it. Was there no fight or what?
No, but I mean, I think after we watched those fights and they were on that same card, we're like, this is the fight that needs to happen. Right?
You would think,
but the UFC came out and they're like, yo, slow it down.
That actually, they're not smart. Happening. They're smart.
They're not trying to make those guys. Yeah, fight they want to. They want to save that for
they
later.
They want to build them up.
Yep.
That's
right. So I think one more thing before we get out of here that we should touch on.
Yep.
That is weird. Is our man Floyd Money Mayweather out here just getting in deals with Ryzen?
Yeah.
Just going over to Japan to fight against a young 20-year-old kid and he's signing deals to fight on New Year's Eve in Japan,
which I mean, you know,
what the hell
makes sense to me?
Does it? It doesn't make any sense.
It's
to me.
Japan, bro. Like, is it really that crazy of a thing? Like, you when you hear that everyone knew Floyd was gonna come out of retirement. That everyone knew.
Yeah,
that
but did you really think he was gonna go fight for like a weird, totally inside?
No. I for sure like the fact that it's Floyd Mayweather. Yeah, I guess it's kind of weird, but I mean, is it weird that it is a thing in Japan? Like, to me, okay.
It's not weird to me that a promotion in Japan is going to pay Floyd Mayweather $100 million to fight like 4 rounds with their, you know, one of their big rising stars.
Yeah.
But it is weird to me that Floyd Mayweather is like, yeah, that's a good idea, because he could fight a guy in the UFC and probably pull in, you know, 3 times, 4 times as much money. You know, if Floyd Mayweather boxes, goes out and boxes against
Nate Diaz.
Khabib. If he goes and fights Nurmagomedov in a boxing match, Floyd's going to clear like $300 million. There's no question. He's going to make so much money. he's gonna, but instead he's gonna go to Japan and beat up some kid for $100 million. I guess when I say it like that, you're gonna go to Japan and you're gonna fight for like half as much as you normally do. You have to train very little and you're gonna get $100 million. That's not that bad.
Yeah,
plus,
I mean,
plus he went and did a press conference for him.
Yeah, it's also something he's building towards. You also gotta think Mayweather is an egomaniac, right?
That's true.
So now he's like, oh, I've already conquered America. Let me conquer Japan like Mike Tyson and blah, 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 blah. Makes a big name over Japan. He gets all of them in. Boom, goes to fight Pacquiao. You got Japanese market. You got the American market. You got the fucking, well, I don't know if Filipinos have money. But you know what I'm saying? I think there's a bigger picture here that we're missing because we're just looking at the, you know, the X's and O's. I would like to give Mayweather more credit than probably he deserves.
It just seems weird to me. I don't know.
I mean, it's going to be an exhibition, and that's somewhere else. You can go to Japan. You can fuck with the commission. You can do all these little weird things.
Do whatever you want.
Exactly. That's another thing.
Do whatever you want. Wear pants. Wear whatever.
Exactly.
Wear high heels.
Going against a guy who's 20-0 or whatever, and a kickboxer, probably he's never boxed. Right.
Yeah. Probably not. I mean,
and it'll probably like you said, 4 rounds, 6 rounds, something like that. It'll be an exhibition. It won't be a 12.
Well, and they. People are acting. There's still people out there who are questioning. Oh, what kind of rules will it be? Are you fucking stupid?
How
dumb are you if you think it's not going to just be a boxing match? Yeah. Like, if you genuinely believe that, like, I got some ice that I need to sell you. Come on down here.
Yeah.
You know, like, give me a break.
I mean, especially since he's come out and said that it's going to be a warm up fight. To fight Pacquiao again. Like, he has come out and said that there's going to be a rematch with Pacquiao, and he wanted a warm-up fight. And I think Pacquiao is doing his version of a warm-up fight against Broner. So
it's crazy to me that people want to see Pacquiao and Mayweather fight again.
I mean, do people? Or I don't know.
Clearly somebody does, because they're going to throw it out there, and a bunch of idiots are going to pay too much money for it.
Yeah, just like Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz 3. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but I think way less idiots are going to pay for that.
I mean, still, it's just one of those things. Like, someone's going to put it on. It's going to happen. There's name value. Does it do as big as the last one? I don't think so.
No, no way.
Yeah.
No way. I feel like if Floyd were smart, he'd be pushing for another fight with Habib a fight with Habib or another fight with Connor or something like that. You know what I mean? He should try to continue to press that, you know, or if he goes over to Japan and instead of fighting in a boxing match, he fights in a kickboxing match. But here's the thing.
Can't kick me in the legs.
No, here's the thing. In Japan, we know that they have been known to throw fights. There have been fixed fights in Japan a lot.
Yeah, let's say he goes over
there and they set it all up, and he goes out there and he throws a sloppy head kick and the guy pretends to be wobbled, and Floyd comes in and, you know, punches him a couple times, dude falls down, and they call the fight. And then Floyd's like, I'm coming to the UFC, I'm gonna come fight whoever, sets up this big thing. Could you imagine?
I already want to quit MMA, man. Don't make me fucking full on commit to it.
Should make you want to move to Japan and have set up fights with Floyd Mayweather. Imagine how much you'd make.
Yeah.
Then you could quit fighting.
I won't even set it up. Like, I'll let you beat me up for 12 rounds. I don't care.
Shit, me too.
Paying me that much money.
If I could hold out for 12 rounds, I'd do it. Yeah, right. That would be hard.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, one, I don't have the cardio to go 12 rounds with Floyd Mayweather, but I could probably do 3.
I think I can go 4. four to six.
Yeah, you better go. You, if I can go 3, you better go 6.
Yeah, I don't know if I really trained. Maybe I could last. I think I could survive. Like, I don't think I'm not hitting him, but I think I can survive.
You might hit him once.
Yeah.
Who knows? But this whole deal where he's gonna go over there and he's gonna fight Tenshin Nishikawa. Yeah. Yeah, no. Nishikawa.
That'll work.
But everybody just calls him Tenshin. That's his name.
You see what Conor McGregor called him?
No.
Called him Jackie Chan.
You know,
someone got mad.
It's funny. Conor McGregor can say that and get away with it because he says it in this in his fun little Irish accent.
Yeah.
But like, you can't just say some racist shit like that. Right? And
someone got mad at the point not because he was just saying an Asian, right? Or just an Asian name. It was because they didn't get the right ethnicity right, because Jackie Chan is Chinese.
He's clearly
Japanese. So that was the driving home point. Like, oh, fucking sorry. Like, let me throw out like fucking Yoshida or something from fucking Five Rings. I'm sorry. Like, what? It was meant to be an insult regardless. Why are we fucking I hate people.
Oh man.
I don't know, man. Let's end this.
Yep.
I'm over people. I'm over MMA. And I'm over.
But you're back, so don't be too over it.
That's right. That's right. I was really hype earlier. Yeah, I'm going to fuck people up.
Back at it.
Yeah.
Ready to just get in there and rock and roll.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. If you have any questions, you want to hit us up, please do so. You can reach us on social media. Jake is at Uber Smitty on Twitter and Instagram and wherever else. Mm-hmm. I'm at David Golden MMA on Twitter. Hit us up anytime if you have any questions or you want to talk some smack. And don't forget to jump on iTunes, leave us that 5-star written review, or you can go on Stitcher, leave us a 5-star review. It's really easy. You only need to give an email address. It's real simple. Either of those would help us out a bunch, so do that for us, and we'll talk to you